And so this is a day of a lot of firsts, and we've got special guests, and we've got new elders, and now we have our first preach from our new lead elder.
Thank you. What's the time? Oh, you guys want to go home already? Almost feels like we have to go home. Greg, if you carried on, bro, I wouldn't have had to preach. I thought you were doing so well. But then you stopped. And then, hello, everybody. Oh, no. Hello, everybody. Come on. So pumped to be here. No, there's no pressure. The Lord is amazing. Don't mess it up. Justine, you're welcome to your thing. So Justine's going to do some cool stuff for us at the back here while I'm trying to get my stuff. I didn't know it was coming, and then it was coming. Let me just do this quick. Then my daughter's got her pictures open, and then, oh no, I've got my preach from Thursday open. What is going on here? There we go. Sure. We made it. So this is my fourth preach for the week, funny enough. Just don't tell Roland Patty I'm overworking already. They mustn't know this. Anyways, so I am so excited for tonight. I have to contain myself, but I believe that God is going to start something that's already been going on in our hearts, if that makes any sense. So tonight, could I ask you, and maybe we should pray before we get into the preach, like, please open your heart to God, not to Brett, not to... Open your heart to His Word. Open your heart to who He is in His character, because I believe that God is going to... We've got an amazing base here that God has already started to do over the years, but I think He wants to change us. He wants to change the game. He wants to change the way we worship. He wants to change the way we read the Bible. He wants to change the way we use our gifts. And you guys have been an amazing congregation. We've felt so welcome the last couple of weeks. Like, really, I'm not just saying that. There have been some congregations in the past where they didn't want us there. And it was a very different vibe. We're not going to mention names, but a very different vibe. We bra, yeah, amazing. I went to Brackenfell for the first time the other day, and I just smelt the fire in the air, and I thought, I'm home. These are my people, you know. We did win them eventually, but I'm just saying initial. So can I just say, like, if we open our hearts, when the change comes, it'll be easier. And I don't want to change for the sake of changing, because I think God is a God of change. He stays the same, but we keep on changing to the likeness of who He is. Amen? So, Father, thank You for this amazing evening. We want to ask that Your Word that is living and active will do something in our hearts and our minds tonight, God. Lord, we don't want to leave this place the same as what we came in. And, Lord, if You don't move tonight, we're in serious trouble. We are, God. You have to move tonight, and we want to ask You that You do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, let me do the old Baptist vibe thing happening. So, my title of my preach tonight is Molded and Moving. Molded and moving. Okay, and so God wants to mold us into new creations again today. You know that every day He wants to mold us into something new. So His mercies are new every day. Amen. Thanks, Greg. You're already doing well, bro. Like, oh, he's like pumping. And the more He molds us, the more we can move into what He has for us. And so it doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter if you're English, Afrikaans, are you French? Doesn't matter if you're French. French is an awesome language. God wants to mold you and move you into more of Him. Okay? If you feel like you suck at life, that's on you. God doesn't feel the same about you. Amen. I feel like sucky about my life sometimes. And then God's like, get over yourself. And so there's a scripture. I can't remember what it is. Isaiah 64, verses 8. And as Justine is making some beautiful... Oh, you're already hoing there. And you've got... What is this? Wow, you've even got tools and everything. Wow, you're doing great. It says this. It says this. But now, O Lord, You are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter. We all the work of Your hands. Just keep that up if you can. Think about this. So there's a picture in the Old Testament where we see God as our Father, but more than that, we see Him as actively working in our lives every day. Amen? Like, you guys with me? Shake. Do something. Let's get Pentecostal. You know what I'm saying? And we the clay. We like we this. Can I touch it? Am I allowed to touch it? Ooh, it feels nice. We this. Well, we should be this in his hand. Some of us, because we've hardened our hearts or we've stopped him allowing to work, we go like concrete. And it's impossible. Once this is air-dried clay. Well, it isn't air-dried now, but it will be air-dried tomorrow or the next day. As soon as this is in the air, it starts drying. And once it's dry, you can't mold it anymore. And what I was feeling for, and what the Lord is feeling for tonight was, thank you, is we can't never say this to God. God, no, no more. Because once we do that, we become hard. And once we're hard, then it's painful. Because then you got to chip and you got to let God do some hectic stuff. And so tonight, I want to speak about faith. Because we need faith to know that we're the clay, to know that he's the potter, to know that he is a good father. And he wants to change us into who he wants us to be. Okay, so we've got to look at change. And faith molds us. By faith, and we look at four handles tonight. By faith, God can mold us into men and women, young and old, black and white, English Afrikaans, into those people who he can move forward. Amen? And I'm gonna take these four principles from a guy named Noah. He's mentioned in the Old Testament, he's mentioned in the New Testament, he's one of my favorite characters because he was just a crazy cool guy. And so Hebrews 11:7 says this, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And so you see two words here. You see faith and you see fear. And you need to understand that faith molds us, fear moves us. Okay, so those are the two biblical principles we're going to look at tonight. By his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir to righteousness in keeping with faith. And so what are those four things, faith-wise, that Noah had that we can learn from him? The first is this. Noah had faith in his everyday life. Think about it. He's doing his thing. He's quite old when God comes to him. And one day God goes like, Noah, I'm looking around the earth and you are the only righteous man that I see. So I'm going to use you to cleanse the earth of evilness and wickedness. And if you go read there, God's not happy at all. Like he's raging, actually. He's raging. And so you see this principle of Noah had faith just in his everyday life. So moms who are looking after kids, you have one of the most amazing jobs and the hardest jobs on the earth. And maybe it's the nappies and it's the cleaning the house and it's getting the meals sorted out. In that place, by having faith, God can actually use you magnificently in the lives of your kids, in your neighbors, in blessing your husband when he comes back. Husbands working hard, working the curse out, you know, by the sweat of your brow. You'll work until the day you die. It sucks, but we've got to do it. In our everyday life, sometimes our bosses suck. Well, my boss doesn't suck because I don't want to fight with him because it's scary. But sometimes it's just drag and it's just horrible. And it's in those moments actually where character is built, where faith can come in and change everything. I mean, everyday life, trusting for food, trusting for a job. Man, trusting for visas, that's real stuff. And people talk about faith on this high level where you got to like glow with the angels and stuff. It's part of that. But what about driving a car here? I raged a little bit at one guy because it almost like Abby gives him the beady eyeball. I'm like, sorry, babes. What about when we're at home? What about when we're on the sports field? What about when we're in the shopping centers? Faith has to be an element of our daily lives. And what I love about God is this huge, gigantic, awesome, glorious God. And faith is this, that we trust him and put our faith in him 100% above everything else. That's what faith is. It's not actually about us. It's God, you are who you say you are. Therefore, I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust on you. As long as it takes, even if the pain doesn't go away, I trust you. Is this good? Is it good? Everyday life. And you see Noah, just Genesis 6:8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless amongst the people of all his time, and he walked with God. Check it out. It's like, God's just like, man, I'm not happy with people. I want to destroy everything. Because what I've created has become Noah. Just because faith in me. Think about this. There's no Bible. There's no Holy Spirit. There's no tabernacle. There's no law. There's nothing. He had no infrastructure around him. Yet he walked with the Lord. He said, God, I trust you and you alone. And I start with my everyday life. And who knows what he did before they built the ark. We know he had kids because there wasn't Netflix. We don't know anything else. He must have been a carpenter of some sort because he was able to carpenter stuff. But we don't know much. We just know that God found favor. He found favor in God's eyes because he had faith every day. Oh, it's a good handle, eh? So tomorrow, or starting today, when you leave this place, faith in God driving home. Faith in God when you're eating with your family tonight. Faith in God when we sleep tonight for whatever we need to have faith for. Security and peace and good rest. Tomorrow when we're at work, the next day and so forth. No work tomorrow for some of us. Holiday tomorrow. Oh, is it a holiday tomorrow? Like a public holiday? I didn't know that. That's amazing. Surprise! Yay! It's Freedom Day. Freedom! Second thing, so Noah had faith in his everyday life. Second handle for us. This is going to be a harder one for us. Okay, we're just like building up. Noah had faith in God, even though there was threats and warnings. So this is where it gets a little bit sketchy for us, because there's this theology going around that we need to be comfortable and God needs to provide for all our needs. And Thursday evening, I was at City Bowl teaching on the holiness of God. And one of the things I said was, God owes us nothing. He's giving us everything in salvation. If all he does is save our souls and there's no other blessing, it's enough. The fact that he sent Jesus to the cross to die and then rose again on the third day, and that Jesus is interceding, he owes us absolutely nothing. We actually owe him everything. And so when it comes to warnings, God disciplines those who he loves. And so God might be warning you, and he might be warning you through people, through the word, through his Holy Spirit, through your wife. My wife is lovely, but she can be scary sometimes. He could be warning you through friends. He could be warning you through your husbands. But I'm telling you, he's doing that because he loves you and he wants your faith to build you so you can be molded into a man or a woman that can be used more greatly by him. And so when he's warning, it's actually a sign of his love and his mercy and his grace. And the problem with what we do is we don't call sin sin, first of all. It's like, oh, I'm not having an affair. I just slipped up. No, you're having an affair and you're an adulterer. You should be going to hell for that. Or I just did a white lie. No, you're a liar. You're breaking God's law. Or you're an adulterer or you whatever you are. I don't know. When those warnings come, instead of us going, oh, who are you, God? Or why are you leader? Why are you pointing these things out? It's no, because we actually love you. And those things are a death sentence for you. Because sin leads to sin that leads to... Say that again. And we don't want you to die. We want you to live. God wants you to live. And so Noah, he's living faith in his everyday life, but he's also living in the midst of warnings and threats. If you want to go look at it, Genesis 6, 13, 17, and Genesis 7, verses 4. Charles Spurgeon says this about Noah. Noah's faith believed both the warnings and the promises of God. Because remember, there was a warning of total destruction, but there was a promise of new life. And so he did that. He did that, and he did it well, actually. If he had not believed the threat, he would not have prepared the ark, so would not have received the promise. Men do not prepare an ark to escape a flood unless they believe that there will be a flood. It's beautiful. Spurgeon was a clever guy, prince of all preachers. So if God is warning you right now, threatening you even, please, because I actually do love you already. I've been asking God for love for you guys and for me. Please, in faith, go, God, I don't even know if I can see this. It's painful. I don't know if I can overcome this, but please, I want to heed your warning, because he wants you to build an ark actually for your own life, to be safe from yourself or from the old man or from bad habits, or from addictions, or whatever it is. Does it make sense? So faith in our everyday life, just a menial, awesome thing. Faith when he warns and when he threatens. It's good, eh? It's good handles, like practical things. And what we're saying is, God, you're threatening and you're warning, but we believe that you are who you say you are. Amazing. Third thing. Noah had faith in God in the midst of the impossible. Read that in Genesis 6, 14 to 21. And why do I say that? You need to understand something about the ark. It's in the desert where Iran is now. There are no trees there. I don't even know how where did the trees come from? They didn't know what a boat was because it's a desert. And if you go read Genesis very carefully, I don't even believe that there was rain yet. Because there were streams coming up from the earth, watering the... So rain wasn't a concept. Boats weren't a thing. And now you get this crazy guy with these three sons building an ark for 120 years in the middle of a desert where it had never rained. Cuckoo. Think about it. Think about the ridicule. Think about his own, like, what are you doing? Where did they get the trees from? Like, think about it. The ark was, it was big. It was three stories high, so it was higher than this. 22 meters wide, if I can remember correctly, and like 100 meters long. It was massive. So Noah has faith in his ordinary life, just doing his thing. God impacts him. There's a threat in this promise, faith, and then the impossible. And he has faith in God. Oh, paparazzi. Just say nice things, please. Okay. Yeah, sign an autograph afterwards. And this is an impossible task. I don't know how he did it, but he did it with God's help. Handle for us. There are things that might seem impossible to you. Health things, family things, relationship things, money things, children things, your own heart things. You know, like, I should not be standing in front of you. I should not be able to preach. Because when I was a young kid, I had all the learning disabilities, and I kind of still do to a certain degree. In the whole earth, God put them in one body. Where when I was 12 or 13, they said, Brett, you'll never be able to function like a normal human being. You won't be able to get through school. You've got ADHD. You've got all these things. You won't be able to concentrate. You're just going to live with your parents for the rest of your life. Impossible. Like, what? As a 12-year-old, you're thinking, there's no hope for me. And I remember my mom and dad, they're godly parents. They still are. They still love God. And they sat me down after this whole thing. I was in a special school and small classes and medication and trying everything, speech therapist, occupational therapist, I don't even know what all the therapists were. And they sat down and they said, look, we have to make a decision here. Either we're going to believe what the education people are saying and you're just not going to do anything, or we believe that God has put you on this earth for a reason and we're going to trust him for whatever. And all they said to me was, as long as you try your hardest, we'll support you and love you and pay for whatever we need to pay for and do whatever we need to do, as long as you're giving it your all. Even if your all is a fail in the schooling system, we will support you. And so I had a decision to make as a young man. Do I believe the professionals? Or do I believe my God and my parents? Guess what I chose? The impossible. I got through school. Proper school. I got through a degree in theology. Who knows how that happened? I failed a few things and I had to redo a few things, and then I failed, almost committed suicide in second year. But besides that, I got through. And the thing is this, when there's an impossible thing in front of us, it is impossible. But with God, it's not impossible because he did it. Not me. I know me. My wife knows me. My kids know me. I can't do what I'm doing now on my own strength. And so never label yourself. Never say it's never. Like, our God owns everything. He's created everything. He is huge. He is holy. He is, there's no limits to what he can do. Thank you for being excited. Like, please, I'm not just trying to pump you up. I'm on it. I believe this with everything in my being because I'm a miracle standing in front of you. Like, we have no excuses, actually, to be molded. You're doing great there, by the way. You're vibing still. This is all about being molded into what he wants us to be. Not what we want to be. What he wants us to be. Okay, last handle, and then we'll start.
Brett can't say this about himself because, just as his wife, I can testify. I was the straight-A student, opposite. And I can testify what God's done in Brett's life. He's one of the most discerning, wisest men. I mean, he can't brag about himself to that level. But it wasn't just that he passed school and he got a degree. God's done miraculous things in his life. So, yeah, I just want to say as a wife, because your wife is honest, this guy's really wise, and it's God.
I built my brownie points up well this week. Thank you, babe, for those kind words. Appreciate you. That was lovely, actually. It made my heart very happy, that. So, just to recap quickly, faith in our everyday life, faith in the midst of the warnings and threats, faith in the impossible. And then lastly, Noah had faith in God when no one else followed him, which is quite a big one, actually. And I want to give you some, like, think about this. It took Noah 120 years to build the ark. It wasn't like a couple of weeks or a couple of days. This was a long part of his life, you know. And you can read that in Genesis 6, verses 3. But think about this. During that time, not one single person on earth thought to themselves, this oak is onto something. This is a God thing. Not one. Every single person on planet Earth, and the dinosaurs, and all those other funny animals that aren't on the, didn't get onto the ark, sorry for them, perished. 100%. How many of us are like, oh God, I'm not doing a good enough job. There's no one getting saved in my life, or there's no one, and we can't see the fruit. I'm that. I almost resigned a few weeks ago. Just don't tell Roland Patty, because they shouldn't know this. I was literally writing my resignation letter to Phil, my friend, because he administrates everything. Because I was like, what am I doing with my life? Feels like nothing is coming together. I'm just being honest with you. That's how I was feeling. So I was like having a pity party. I've got over it. It's gone now. Okay, so pity party. And yes, Patty's like freaking out. It was before I joined the PM here. Okay, so just, it wasn't you guys. Let's make it very clear. No, my wife had just gone through 3 years of hell, and it's just like, I'm battling, just being stupid. I was just being childish. And I'm literally, I'm not even fabricating, because sometimes preachers can fabricate things. I'm not, I promise to the Lord. I'm typing, I don't know what else typing, because I don't know how to do those letters. And I get a ping, ping. And some guy, I don't know, he's in one of our Joshua congregations, one of them. He said, Brett, I just wanted to thank you for a preach you did 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, something like that. I've listened to it, saved my life this week. Just want to say I love you. God's using you. And I'm like, you can't write that in a book. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up. And I'm like, oh, sorry, Lord, I'm being a chop. Like, I've been childish and I just deleted, didn't tell anyone. Didn't even tell Abby until a couple of weeks ago because I was so embarrassed. It's not about what we think is happening around us, actually. It's God does what he wants to do with how many people he wants to do it. All we call to do is have faith in him and allow him to mold us through faith into people that he can use, whether we see it or not. Thank you. Like, good things. So let's start landing. So faith molds us. And she's been molding and she's been doing a great job. Have you heard tonight? Have you heard the clay saying anything? Okay, let me test this quickly, because that's the picture, right? Anyone hearing the clay go, God, you can't use me, or, hey, I want to be a different shape? Well done, young lady, you're doing really well. You can't, right? So the one thing we need to understand about faith, it is scary. Because we're not always going to see what God wants to do, and that's faith, right? We walk by faith, not by... Say that again. So if you can see every step that God is putting in front of you, is that faith? Ah, you see, you tricked yourselves there. But I believe with everything in my heart. Even if we can't see what God is going to do with this congregation, He's going to do something. And this is my heart, and this is His heart, that we'll see salvations, that we'll see baptisms, that we see people filled with the Holy Spirit, that we see demons coming out, that we see our worship go so boss that that poor old man that moans will come and get saved. That we'll see every single one of you step into the fullness of what you call to do by the grace God has given you. And it'll look different to me. It'll look different to your wife or your husband or your friend or your congregate leader or your deacon or if. But that every single one of us, that we'll have no pew warmers here. Then no matter how small you think your gift is or how big you think it is, that it won't actually matter. That you're just loving Jesus and you're living in faith. And you're feeling fulfilled in the kingdom of God, being part of the body. And that when we meet, the presence of the Lord will be here. And then like Derek, that you won't even have to come to the front and He'll heal you wherever you are. Or people will walk in the doors and forgiveness will just happen. Why not? Why not? With the God that we serve. That we won't restrict ourselves because of what people have said over us or what we think we are, but because we have faith in Him. So I want to end on this. Remember, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, by holy fear, built the ark. So the fear of the Lord moves us. Faith molds us. Fear moves us forward. Sinclair Ferguson, he's a theologian, he says this, the fear of the Lord tends to take away all other fears. This is the secret to Christian courage and boldness. And what is the fear of the Lord? I want to end with this. The fear of the Lord is this, that God is so holy and so magnificent and so awesome to us and so trustworthy in our minds because our faith is so full that we can't stop but run into His presence, in the ordinary, in the warnings and the threats, in the impossible, and even if no one else follows us, that He is so amazing to us that we'll be like, God, we cannot be without Your presence in our lives. In that moment, we're able to step out. For some of us, raising our hands in worship is hard, right? Or coming to the front, little things like that. Or speaking to strangers about the gospel, or see, the fear of the Lord takes away all other fear. Because my dad is so big. What are people going to do? Oh. And we see that in Noah. The fear of the Lord, He builds His ark. And He saves His family. And every single one of us sitting in this room comes from Him. Think about that. Comes from His family. Oh. So I'm going to end there. This is the question I had to ask myself this, and you need to ask yourself this. I can't. Do you want to walk in faith and the fear of the Lord? I can't make you. Only He can. But I do believe this, that faith and fear of the Lord are both gifts that He wants to give us. And so if that's you, I can only pray, I think, because that's how He gives it. Like we can ask and He gives it. I want to ask, if you want fear or faith in Him to be able to be molded, and you've done such a great job, Justine, tonight. Amazing. And it doesn't matter what you look like, what kind of vessel you are, whether you're a cup or a saucer or a... It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's, do you want to be molded by Him? Do you want your faith to grow? Do you want to see Him in new lights? And can I ask you to stand with me? Because I'm standing. And we're going to ask Him to do something supernatural here tonight. See, the fear of the Lord, as we stand, because now I've tricked you into standing. No, I'm just kidding. Fear the Lord. This is the promise from the Psalms. It says this: the Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenants known to them. In other words, think about Noah. He's doing his thing, and then God goes, Noah, I'm going to do something. I want you to build a boat in a desert that no one has ever seen rain. He comes and he confides. Confides in his, hey, bro, this is what I've got planned for you. Hey, Patty, looking great. This is what I have for you. Hey, Tony, that's what confining is. Oh, do you want one too? Hey, Roland, you're looking amazing. You're looking rested and beautiful, losing the beautifulness. And see, he wants to whisper. He wants to make his, so the fear of the Lord opens our hearts and he whispers, yo, that's amazing. The first time that happened to me when I was 5, and the second time when I was 15, and then the other day again. See, the fear of the Lord leads to obedience, actually. So in Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And Genesis 7:5 says, Noah did all that God commanded him. Oh. So Father, as we stand in your presence, we can't make the next thing happen. Only you can, God. Lord, we want to ask as a congregation, as your children, that you will give us a fresh deposit of faith tonight. Where are you standing? If you need faith in your everyday life, could you ask him for it? If you need faith in the impossible, could you ask him for it? If he's threatening and warning you and trying to get your attention, could you ask him for faith? And that if you're feeling like you're not counting and you're not seeing things around you change, or your family members or your spouse, or could you just ask him right now, God, I want to put my faith in you, because the word of God says, without faith, it is impossible. Please, God. Anything done outside of faith is sin. We don't want to walk a sinful life. We want to walk a righteous, full of the Holy Spirit life. If you could just cry out to him right now, wherever you are, whatever you are trusting him for, Lord, that as we do that, a fear of reverence and dread sometimes, Lord, will take control of our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we'll see you in a way that we've never seen you before. Lord, that we can be moved into the next season of growth, of salvations, of freedom. In the prayer meeting before, unforgiveness came up a few times, and I was like, God, that is so not what we are believing you want to do tonight. But as I'm standing here tonight, I think unforgiveness is probably the one thing that will block faith and fear working in our lives. And so maybe if there's unforgiveness in your heart tonight, can you ask God, like, again, he can only do this. It's only by supernatural ability that he could take and give you forgiveness and reconciliation. And Lord, do that, please, Lord. Just set those people free, God. Please, Lord, just give them a love like they've never had before. And Lord, even if they're wronged, and even if those people that are wronging them are still wronging them, Lord, that somehow that they will forgive as your son forgave all of us as he hung on the cross, God, that you'll do something supernatural here in their hearts and minds tonight, Lord.
So I couldn't help but notice Brett's shirt, Make Your Own Trail. And quite ironic, the message. And I felt like the Lord was saying, like, don't make your own way. Trust in me, that I will make a way for you. And I think that thing of us saying, like, oh, Lord, I'm just going to, my situation right now, I'm going through a wilderness, I'm going through sickness. I don't want to be led this way, Lord. I'd rather go and make my own trail. And I feel like there's something about laying that thing down tonight. is saying, Lord, for too long I've been making my own plans. And maybe tonight just to say, I'm not going to make my own trail. I'm not going to make my own path. Lord, I'm going to trust you right now. Whether you are leading me around the mountain, whether you're leading me into a valley or into a wilderness, that sometimes it's in these strange places that we find the Lord. And just say like, okay, Lord, I surrender. And I trust you completely.